Singleness is a journey, and we're not in two camps. People think we're in the, okay, I am just sitting at home eating bonbons on Friday night, crying, watching a romance film, and like pining for my man. Or I'm in the, I'm wearing my missionary pearls. I have embraced the gift of singleness, and I don't long for anything more. And that is not what singleness is. It is a raw, real journey that changes from minute to minute.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real-life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hey, fourth chair friends, welcome back to More Than Small Talk. We are excited to be here with you today, and we have a special guest, Jennifer Hand. We are also missing one of our own, Susie Eller. As you know, if you listen to our podcast about Susie has cancer, has gone through a double mastectomy, and we saw her the other day. She is the same strong and beautiful and awesome Susie. We did a lot of dreaming about the future with her, and we have so many exciting things coming up for all of you that we can't wait to share. But Susie is being wise in saying, I am going to choose to give my body what it needs now so that I can do everything that is coming in the future. So y'all can keep praying for her, but also know that she is doing awesome with everything she's been through. So Jennifer Hand is going to be in the third seat today. And I have known Jen Hand, I think, since about 2012 or 2013. We got to be on a God-sized dream team together. She's also a speaker, a writer, a podcaster also of Coming Alive Conversations. And Jennifer knows her as well.
Yes, I got to do a podcast with her. She has a master's degree in counseling, is also the author of Dateless, Not Dead, Living Fully Alive and in the Single Life. She is so much fun. I feel like I know you, Jen. We haven't met in person, but I just feel, you know, like I know you. Everybody feels like they know you from social media.
Well, I'm looking forward to when we get to actually know in person. But yes, that was such a fun episode. And I like have reread and reread your book. So, you know, we're real friends.
That's
right?
Awesome. Yes. So we want to just dive in today. And we want to ask you, what do you wish people knew about being single?
And this question is because we have gotten a lot of requests from our fourth chair friends to tackle this topic. And we thought since your episode will be airing right before Valentine's Day, that you would be a great person to talk about this because you live all of your life, including being single, with such joy.
Oh, my goodness. I am so humbled and honored to answer that confession question for the singles among us. And I'm a loyal fourth chair friend. So to be in the third chair is just so exciting.
Aww. Yes. And when we asked Susie about you too, because she loves you also, and she said she loves your heart for people and how true you are to who you are and who God made you. So.
Oh, aww. I, you guys, I love all of y'all, and all of you have been on my podcast, which has been the biggest dream. So, so what, this is a big question, right?
It's yes. Huge. No pressure.
And I think the first thing that came to my mind that I would love for people to know, because I think there is an assumption that all singles are the same and in the same stage at any point. And that's the first thing that came to my mind. It's interesting because we don't assume married life is the same for everyone, that everybody's always loving it all the time, or, you know, like it's honeymoon, you know, all the time. There are some that are struggling at any given point. And I think just if I could tell you that singleness is a journey and we're not in two camps. People think we're in the, okay, I am just sitting at home eating bonbons on Friday night, crying, watching a romance film and like pining for my man. Or I'm wearing my missionary pearls. I've embraced the gift of and I don't long for anything more. And I'm just out there, you know, wearing my denim skirt and kids.
Oh my goodness. And,
just the idea that that is not what singleness is. It is a raw, real journey that changes from minute to minute. And some days we love it. And some days we would, you know, like for example, last January I had mono and the flu. And I'm like, I just need someone to bring me toilet paper because I'm out and I can't get to Walmart. You know,
I love your laugh, Jen.
You're so the cutest ever.
Okay. The encouragement that as singles, it's a journey just like married. And for me, I have chosen to live that journey, asking God, help me live fully alive in the midst of it. And sometimes that means embracing the longing for a mate. And sometimes it's celebrating, oh, I love this season. And it's all the in between.
Yeah.
What's the craziest thing that people have said to you as a single woman?
Oh, we could talk for a while.
Any setups? Yeah.
A lot of married people today think that if you're single, it's your fault. And the answer to all things is online dating.
Yes.
So I get that a lot. But I think the craziest happening I ever had was I was actually overseas serving post-earthquake in Nepal. And my pastor asked me for a picture of me. And I thought they were going to show the picture at church and say, let's pray for our friend Jen. She's serving overseas. So sent the picture. What I didn't know is they were doing a sermon on singleness and decided to use me as the poster child for how I couldn't be doing what I was doing unless I was single.
Wow.
And then there was my picture.
Word.
And I'm like,
nothing says
don't ask her on a date.
Oh my goodness. So you are kidding me.
I get a lot of, well, because people feel they need to have an answer to why or like a platitude. So I get a lot of, well, you couldn't do what you do if you weren't single, which I think the Lord knows exactly the seasons we're in and exactly what we need. Yes. But that is not a reason for the season. I think it's just God has me here for now.
Yeah. Jesus is the reason for the season.
Yeah.
We all know that.
All the single ladies. Yep.
I think I used to have that on a sweatshirt.
Yes. It's interesting because I've had people say the exact same thing to me about my infertility. I literally did a radio interview 2 weeks ago and the guy was like, well, I'm sure if you had kids, you wouldn't have been able to write books and do what you're doing.
No,
so
that is not helpful.
Let's just never say that to anyone for any reason.
I think what it is people want to give an answer to what they don't understand.
Yeah.
Or know what to say. I try to remember that from their hearts. It's really, they're trying to love me well, but at the same time, it's like, that's not.
Yeah, no, not helpful.
So, and I mean, I am grateful for this journey and asking the Lord to help me live fully alive, whether single or not. And, I am 37 and have never kissed a boy. And it's not because I'm a nun. No one's ever asked. But I will say Jesus has taken me on a romantic adventure around the world, literally with him. So I wouldn't trade it.
Awesome. Yeah.
Most days, right?
Okay. Yes.
Well, I have two questions for you. What is actually helpful when it comes to loving on our single friends and family? And then what's not helpful? Like what's some things that you wish people would like not do?
Okay. I love when people don't really make a big to-do out of it and just love me right as they would their married friends. But also though, I have so many wonderful married friends that just let me be a part of their lives. That is such a gift to be a part of family when you don't have it as far as your own. So doing things with my married friends and their kids is such a gift. And then also those days when longing is there more than some other times to just listen and not have to have the answer. Because we don't say to someone that's struggling with him, well, people do. People, let's just be honest. People say things that they want to help that aren't. let your single friend sometimes share where they are without having to fix it. That's the best, right? For anything.
Yeah, any situation, I think.
Yeah. And what not to do is just make assumptions that you need to tell them the answer. Like online dating is the only answer. I mean, I had an 80-year-old woman tell me that one day. Like, she was like, did you not know about eHarmony? You know, just kind of maybe being okay with not having the answers.
Yeah. And I think even too, again, infertility, people say, have you ever thought about adoption? Or, you know, you're right that we tend to try to fix what we think we need to in other people's lives instead of just saying, all right, we are who we are apart from our roles or our life circumstances. Like, I think honoring the heart and soul of who someone is always a gift. Yeah. At least it has been for me, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes singles already, we already kind of, we're different than the typical in your church that everything is more geared towards families, we'll say. And so to always point out, like, I have a solution to your problem makes you feel like you're not doing enough.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, which I mean, if you have a nice blind date for me, okay.
But you don't want us to set up you an account on Tinder or anything like that.
Exactly.
Okay. We'll delete that as soon as we're done.
Swipe left.
So. With especially as Valentine's Day coming up, you know, is there anything in particular you want people to know about this holiday and what it's like being single, what you love and don't love and all those things?
I think, you know what, let's be honest, even married people don't always love Valentine's.
That is true. Very true.
Sometimes people bomb that.
I think I have just learned to ask God, help me. The word coming alive is my passion, like live fully alive. And what that means is, yes, admitting longing and unmet. We all have these things we're hoping yet not received. I mean, heaven is one of them, right?
Yeah.
So for me, just admitting, yes, I have longing, but I have really learned one of the best ways for me to enjoy Valentine's Day is to reach out to those that are having a hard time. Mm-hmm. And I like to have people over or do a little special banquet for younger singles or love on my sister who is married with four kids and take her kids. So her and her husband, you know, just looking out for others, I think really helps. And the truth is, I wrote the book Dateless Not Dead. I did not want to write a book on singleness because I didn't want that to become my platform. I'm just me, right?
Yeah.
Single or not. But there are six truths in there I wrote about that I actually found my married friends reading the book and saying, we need this reminder just as much that God declares we're not alone and that we are beautiful because we are His. And, you know, so just remembering.
Yeah. Can you give us a quick rundown of those six truths?
Oh, goodness. I hope so. Let's see. Remember.
I know when people ask me for specifics from a book, I'm like, the general idea.
I'll give you the general idea. Yes. Don't quote me on this, friends. No. So one is you are beautiful because He has declared you His work of art. You are not alone. Your life is not behind. You can live fully alive in the now, even with unmet yet not received or never received. Mm-hmm. And you are not too much.
Awesome.
I don't know if that was that six. I don't know.
But close enough. Right?
Close enough.
We don't do math on this show. We don't do numbers.
We're writers.
So, you know, we'll just, And, you know, Jen, you are so much more, of course, than, you know, your singleness. We're thankful that you were willing to speak on that topic because we've been asked so much about it and we love your perspective on it. But you are also an Enneagram 7.
Yes.
Which we love, right? Mm-hmm. And your whole thing is coming alive. So I would love to hear your journey behind coming alive. How did that become the focus of your life and your ministry?
So I lived overseas as a missionary in Nepal, and I thought I would live and die there, guys. I thought they were going to name a missionary offering after me. but I really felt the Lord call me home, not home to heaven. Home.
I'm glad. Yeah.
And I wasn't sure why, but when I got home, it was the same time I was on your God Sized Dream team, Holly. So, cool. I felt like I had lived in a country where people worshiped these idols. And every morning, like the guy next door would wake up his idol at 5 a.m. I did not appreciate that. And they were dead inside because their idols were not alive.
Right.
And then I came back to the South where I would go speak at churches and people knew the living God, but they were still living dead inside. And I felt the Lord say to me, Jen, I want you to live so fully alive in Christ and just alive that people want to know the God that's alive. And I want you to call my people to life. So that's how it started.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And the truth is, will I and can I trust that God is alive on my good days, in the normal, a mundane of a Monday, the worst days, and then the in-between, you know, that yeah. he's alive on all yeah. of those days.
So if someone's listening and thinking, you know what, I kind of feel dead inside right now. Like, I love the idea of coming alive, but I'm not even sure how to start. And maybe because that's they're in a hard season or, you know, facing a battle or whatever it is. So if someone's listening and asking themselves that question, what would you say is kind of a first step to starting to come alive to God in your life?
It's so fun because when I saw clients, that would be the first question I asked them. And people don't know how to answer. What makes you come alive?
Yeah.
Because that feels selfish, or we're so numb or so busy, we don't know. So I would have my clients either just begin to write down the first things that came to their mind, whatever it was, no holds bar, anything that would make them smile or bring joy, or get a magazine and cut out the pictures that spoke to them and start to spark that way. And it's just so fun once people to really begin to connect with what uniquely, because it's different for all of us.
Yeah.
And that's where it's Psalms 139, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. What makes me come alive is different than you, Holly, you know?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Not putting the pressure to find someone else's alive, right? You know, so I think the starting place is just asking, begin thinking with the small, like, I love a good coffee mug. Every morning I pick out a different one. You can come to my house. I barely have any bowls,
but
a lot of coffee mugs, you know? And then as you slowly connect with that, you begin to see how God is like giving life to our lives with, he didn't make a black and white world. He made it color full of, you know, maybe that's the Enneagram 7 at me talking.
Yeah. Well, that's why we need Enneagram 7s to remind all of us to live more that way.
Yeah.
So coffee mugs on your coming alive list. What else is on your list that makes you come alive?
Well, right now I'm at a getaway with my friends. So time with friends. Definitely. I'm in a cabin in the mountains. That makes me come alive. We're getting in the hot tub afterwards. Which but yes, I have learned yoga makes me come alive. It's just, it changes sometimes. I love conversation with friends over coffee, of course. And I love, love, love traveling the world.
Yeah.
Yes, that makes me come alive.
Yes, I would say friends over coffee, me too. What about you, Jennifer? What's something on your coming alive list?
Coming alive? I love like fresh flowers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like just adding that to my house makes it feel joyful. And then loud music. When I drive, I crank the music up. And then last night, me and Elise just started dancing in the kitchen. So I love those like random moments where you're just silly and there's just so much joy and you can't even explain it, but you're just doing something goofy and you don't care about what people think or if your other daughter's looking at you like you guys are crazy, but you know, just having fun and enjoying that moment. So I love that kind of thing.
And I think the beautiful thing is those moments, it feels like that's when we tap into the eternal part of who we are, you know, the part that is outside of our roles, our singleness, if we have kids or not, where we live, how much money we make, what we do for a living, like all those external things in those moments, they feel like they kind of fade away, you know, and you get in touch with like, this is who I forever am. This is who God made me that will be around always. Mm-hmm. And I love that you remind all of us of that, Jen, and help all of us come more alive. So,
well, I try to ask myself at the end of every day or in a season, especially when I notice that I am starting to become numb. And because numb is easy, especially if you're single, it's just easier to do that than to live with the, okay, I still have longing, but how, you know, how do I live fully alive? And if I ask myself, what am I doing that makes me come alive? And that sounds selfish, but it's like really when we attach it to how God made us, it is such a cool way for God to meet us in our normal every day.
Yeah. And I think of that quote, I can't think of who said it, but someone said the glory of God is man fully alive.
It's good.
And
I mean, people need to see Christians with some joy, right?
That's right.
So true.
So do you have an actual list of all the things that you love that make you feel come alive?
I every season make a manifesto.
Oh, so that's so great.
So spring, fall, winter, and summer. And I sometimes a lot of the same things make the list, but I try to write what in that season am I going to do that makes me come alive. Some of it's spiritual, like goals, kind of spiritual things, but some of it's just everyday simple things. And so I do that every season, and I have my Bible study ladies do it, and then we check in and send pictures of our manifesto living. It's so fun.
That's so good. And we like to kind of wrap up with, you know, something someone can do in 5 minutes or less that's practical. And I think starting that manifesto would be a great step, or a list if you're more of a list than a manifesto kind of person. So, and maybe even on Valentine's Day, you know, this is airing the day before Valentine's. So tomorrow when we think about, you know, loving the people in our lives, maybe we pause and say, you know what, it's all right to love on myself too. And I'm going to sit down with Jesus and tell him I love him also. And then ask, what does this look like in this next season of my life? So thank you, Jen. That is great inspiration and also some awesome practical application.
Yes.
Oh, so fun. And I would encourage the singles in particular, make a single life manifesto so that you're not sitting good. Around.
That's awesome. So next week's episode is When God Feels Gone. And our guest is Michelle Cachette.
Yes. So we're looking forward to that. And we also like to share resources. So we want to share some resources from Jen. She mentioned her book, Dateless, Not Dead, Living Fully Alive in the Single Life. She also has an awesome site, comingaliveministries.com. And again, she has a podcast also called Coming Alive Conversations. And we have all been guests on there. So if you go over there, you can find our interviews with her. So thank you again, Jen, for being with us. And even more than that, just being the delight that you are to everyone who crosses your path. I know we are all so grateful that we have connected with you in different ways. And I am certain that our fourth chair friends are going to feel the same way after meeting you today.
Oh, what an honor to be here with you. It's like a dream, a coming alive dream.
Aw. And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on KLRC.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.